A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ho, 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 listener dear, it's Christmas!
It's Christmas, ho, 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 ho.
Happy Christmas, listener dear. Yes, welcome to the...
Wait, sorry. Hang a second.
The Christmas crow.
Wait, what's going on? Who's this character?
Happy Christmas, everyone!
The Christmas crow. Do you not have a Christmas crow in your house?
What could be more festive? No, I never have, but I'm going to put a little crow on the top of my Christmas tree
now.
No,
the Christmas crow goes on the bottom of the tree.
The bottom of the tree, right. Eats all the little bits of food that you drop over Christmas. The Christmas crow, it's not a bad tradition, actually.
I tell you what the Christmas crow's done to me, and this is genuinely true. For like the first 5 nights I had the Christmas tree up, without fail, a bauble would fall off in the night and wake me up. But never
fell off. Why are you sleeping under the Christmas tree?
Well, you know, I've got
he's the Christmas crow. He's the Christmas crow. Clark is the Christmas crow.
Don't give it away, Tom.
But never fell off during the day.
That's weird. What do you think's going on in your house? Do you think there's people sort of rifling around in your house under cover of darkness?
Well, now I do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, Merry Christmas, and welcome to Flatshare Slamdown. It's our festive Flatshare Slamdown. It's a really fun one. Just to explain, it was originally going to be Josie Long versus John Richardson. Josie had to do a Radio 4 show, so maybe she'll make an appearance later in the show. You'll just have to listen and find out.
Ooh.
Tom, Ben!
What is it, Matthew?
Yeah, what is it, you festive fucker?
You are a festive fucker and no mistake.
You know what? Guilty as charged. One of you two has got to put the mince pies out for old St. Nick, a.k.a. Father Christmas.
Oh, well, it's not going to be me. Well, you know, I was going to put out a mince pie and brandy for him, but obviously, if he wants the brandy, the mince pie is not a substantial meal. So instead, I'm just going to put out some scotch and an egg.
It's torn from today's papers from Clarkey. I love it. What about you, Parry?
I once met a wolf that swore at me, and then I kicked it in the nose, and the nose passed away, and then rainwater came out.
The nose passed away.
Yeah, and then rainwater came out of its ears, and it was Rude Wolf, the dead nose reindeer.
And you're telling me that you didn't prep that? That is unbelievable. Oh, my goodness. Comedy Store players, move over. Room for a little one. Well, there's only one way that we're going to settle this. We're going to have another one of our festive Flatshare Slamdown.
Flatshare Slamdown.
We're in a
Flatshare
Slamdown.
We're sharing with our mates.
Hello and welcome to Flatshare Slamdown, the panel show that says, you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why, Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, he's checking it twice, he's gonna find out who's naughty or nice, Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows if you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. I'm the host and landlord, Matthew Crosby. Let's meet Santa's little helpers. It's Tom Parry and Benedict Clark.
Ho, ho,
hi, hi,
ho.
Hi.
Ho, no, it's ho, 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 Ben. It's ho, ho,
hi,
ho.
Hi, ho, ho, hi. Listen, hey, guys, it's wonderful to have you on the show again.
Oh, thanks, man.
We made it through another year together, guys.
Oh, we've done it.
Thanks for asking me back, actually. That's
It's a real pleasure. It's Clarkie's second appearance on the show. So you can't, obviously, Clarkie, put out the mince pies on your own. Who have you brought along to bubble with you this festive season?
Well, I have brought along the spirit of Christmas himself, John Richardson!
Hello there. John Richardson. Rico, how are you doing? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Well done to all of you for everything you've ever done.
Thank you, John. We really needed to hear that, actually.
This is the opposite of going home for Christmas.
Honestly, you know what? It's exactly what I needed to make my heart swell three sizes. That's so, so wonderful.
I just read The Grinch to my daughter at bedtime.
Did you?
Yeah, the book's short, isn't it? I was glad. Yeah. I got into it and I thought, oh, shit, I've got something to do at 8. And then, actually, it's fairly brief, the book.
Do you do different voices? Or is it just the one voice? You strike me as a man with one voice, but I can't...
Rico's a master of the voice.
I can't imagine the cast having a multitude of voices, but is that...
You obviously didn't see the shit CBBC series Walk on the Wild Side, where I voiced upwards of 4 different animals. A monkey and a dung beetle.
The grumpy monkey. The grumpy dung beetle.
Grumpy dung beetle. All from slightly different towns of the northwest. The dung beetle was from Preston. The gnu was from Lancaster.
I thought the beetles was from Liverpool, but fair enough.
Lovely.
Lovely stuff to start us off. Why not? Can I take back what
I said earlier about congratulations on everything you've ever done?
Everything you've ever done up to the point when you gave the compliment. Yes. After that.
Could you give the caveats as a footnote at the end of the show? As the credits are rolling, you could just list off all the things that you didn't approve of.
Well, tomorrow night, John's coming back to do a director's commentary on this, where everything we say, I can't get behind that. It was a really good impression of a dung beetle, that wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very good. That's like the dung beetle.
Chorley, I think.
Surely you must be joking.
The giraffe.
I know. It's bad, isn't it? I think it's the advocar kicking in. It's maybe all Christmas crackers. What's Christmas like in your house, John?
It's not as good since I got married. Am I supposed to say that?
I'm probably not. I'd love to know why.
Well, I think when you're with your family, you all do it the way your family does it. And then marriage and relationships is just a rogue element, isn't it? And suddenly they realize Lucy just does it. I'm going to say a different way. She does it wrong. She doesn't like playing games. She doesn't drink copious amounts. They have a big dinner and then they like have a cup of tea and fall asleep in front of the telly, which you can do on like October the 9th.
Cup of tea as well. Come on.
Awful business.
A big glass of brandy is what you want. You want to
get some port in that brandy. Absolutely.
Get hammered. Play a board game where everyone goes a bit too hard. Everyone gets aggressive. Somebody cries. No one wants to play with grandma because she's hard of hearing, so she's terrible at articulate. Like, this is what you want from it. You know, you don't want to be falling asleep in front of the telly.
Yeah, absolutely. And they have an argument and we don't. So they don't play any games and they'll still manage to have an argument and we manage to play games and get on. So it'll be tense this Christmas. But fortunately, because of the awful year we've had, there just won't be as many people and there'll be a general air of sadness about the whole thing, which I think she'll like.
Parry, who have you brought with you this time around?
Guys, fantastic news. The Jamboree's in full swing.
Yes!
Absolutely right. We have Santa's Grotto. It's going from strength to strength. And Chief Elf himself is here. It's Mr. Stu Goldsmith, everybody.
Hey, babies. Wow. Great to be here. A joy.
Hi, Stu.
You have an elf in quality to you, Stu.
Thank you very much. I've got a long, pointy face like a fox or elf. You're absolutely right.
Were you ever in the hat for Lord of the Rings? Auditions?
No, everybody apart from me seemed to audition for Lord of the Rings. Did you? Did Crosby?
No, I turned it down. Rico, you did it though, didn't you? Or The Hobbit?
Did you go
for The Hobbit?
I read for the role that Martin Freeman later got in The Hobbit.
Do you think you'd have done as good a job as Freeman?
I think I probably did it a different way. I think
you brought a lot of dung beetle to it.
Yeah, I went for him from Garstang. And I don't think that's what they were looking for. They wanted a sort of continuation of the Ian Holm role.
I once got the job as the Lynx guy, the kind of the nerdy guy in a Lynx advert.
You're the nerdy guy?
Yeah.
How are you the nerdy guy?
The advert didn't go ahead. I flew to Cape Town. I shot it in a mall in Cape Town with me and a bunch of Brazilian models. And it was the only paying kind of gig, like proper paying gig. It was supposed to be 30 grand. And then they decided not to use it and they didn't give me the money. Thanks for bringing up auditions, pals.
Oh, my God.
They put it in front of the client and the client said, well, where's the nerdy guy?
Yeah, 100%.
You've given us a stone cold dreamboat.
Oh, thank you. That was an unslam and I'm very appreciative. Thank you.
And also, why is the guy running away from all the girls got a boner? We can't show that.
That's the other thing. He's got a pointy face and a pointy dick.
It is Elfin. My dick is immortal. That's true.
Well, we've met our guests and their immortal junk. Let's see who's going to be making mincemeat out of who as we play round one.
Oh.
Let me get one thing clear. On one night a year, I eat juicy ass turkey and then spread good cheer. Ho, 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 ho. Yeah, I'm munching on some juicy ass turkey. Don't go skimping on my juicy ass turkey. Give me all of the trimmings on my juicy ass turkey. Carve it up thick, Mrs. Claus, then rub my face in your white sauce. I want your breast meat, it does the job. Then put two stuffing balls in my gob. Get a large blanket, cause this pig is fat. I've started to sweat through my cracker hat. Cream up my leeks, don't mess about. Gag me with two Brussels sprouts. Pour your brandy, get this pud lit. Drop that new log and then give me a bit. I want us to make purple and squeak with all the leftovers for the next week. Oh yes, I'm munching on some juicy ass turkey, so don't go skimping on my juicy ass turkey. Give me all of the trimmings on my juicy ass turkey. Whoa, juicy ass turkey. Ho, 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 I'm a real ho, 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 ho.
Oh my God! I love
Jesus
Tom.
Christ.
I really
Christmas.
Enjoyed that, Ben.
Christmas
that was
number one. We got
superb,
a chance.
Superb work there. And I mean, I think we've all got immortal boners after hearing that. this round one is called Merry Crisp Past. I'm going to give each contestant the backstory to a festive tradition. They have to give me three backstories. One of which will be true, the other two will be lies. Now, the opposing team has to fish the gold coin of truth from the figgy pudding of deceit. A point if the team guesses correctly, if not, right, the liar gets the point. We're going to start with you, Clarkie. Okay, uh-oh. Now, your tradition is being sent to you over the Zoom, so...
That's not a sentence you hear very often, is it?
What a very modern podcast this is. Let's see if Tom and Stu can tell festive fact from festive fiction. Ben, reveal to us, please, the origin of the mince pie. Talk us through the mince pie.
Oh,
wow.
Yes.
This is tough stuff, isn't it?
This is like a proper question.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, yes, Clarky.
Oh, yes.
The mince pie was originally...
I don't believe this one. I think this
he's already backing out of it, isn't he?
He's crumbling like so much flaky pastry. Come on, Clarky, back yourself. We believe in you.
Was
well,
originally
two of us don't.
Constructed within a stocking. They would spoon in the ingredients. So when you reach the bottom,
spoon in the ingredients.
They're not ingredients until they're in the stocking. They're out ingredients first, and then they become the ingredients.
When they're on the spoon side. In between, they're ingredients.
They'd spoon them in to the stocking, and so when you reach the bottom of the stocking,
where the orange is.
Yeah, exactly. But it was pre-orange, I presume. There was your mince pie.
Okay,
so these
pre-orange. The orange was there before the stocking, mate.
How? What? This is a big existential question. What came first, the orange or the stocking, Tom? I don't think we've got time to get into this right now. So you're saying they would spoon the ingredients into a stocking, and that was the early mince pie that we know and love today.
Exactly right, Matthew.
Okay. All right. Well, I believe it.
Where does the pastry come from?
Where does the mince come into it? What
is, stockings
in
usually
short,
made of pastry, guys.
What are
you
talking about?
Listen, this is all... Read some between part. The lines, guys.
Like, what? It's fine.
Guys, don't worry, it's fine. Clarky tells us it's fine.
I don't need to defend the real one, do I? You know. next up, we have mince pies... were originally made to celebrate Jesus. They were...
he's acting here now, though. There's some acting going on.
Is he acting absolute lack of belief in what he's saying? I think he's doing an incredible job. Get this man a Hobbit gig.
I think he's overplaying his hand here. I think he's...
Listen, if he's acting like he doesn't know what he's doing, this has been a very long con. I'd say he's been doing this since about 2011. So he's really been prepping for this game for a long time.
Okay, so they were originally made to celebrate Jesus. They were oblong in shape to represent the manger, and
can I buzz in? Would Clarkie know or use the word oblong? It's quite a natural course. Or has he clearly read that from the Zoom chat?
Oh my god.
I mean, rectangle, oblong. I feel like oblong, it's a word. You use oblong before you learn rectangle, don't you? Oblong's like the kids' version.
I've never been 100% clear on what an oblong is.
Yeah, rectangle's the first. Square, then rectangle, isn't it? You learn square first, then rectangle. Yeah, oblong comes later on and you're like, eh?
Yeah. It's such a funny prefix. Do you get
oblong? Oblong's like the filled out shape, though, isn't it? It's like three-dimensional oblong.
Oh. Right.
I thought so.
So kind of like, so a box is an oblong, whereas...
I don't want to divert this Christmas quiz into a shapes chat, but I am learning.
Oh, are we learning, though? Because we haven't got any of the actual facts here.
Oh, we didn't tell you. This is for preschool. Did we tell you? This podcast is for preschool age.
Bit when I said, fuck me dead, when I drank the booze earlier on, is that going to be an issue? Because I've got a lot of comedy for kids fans that I don't want to disappoint.
Your immortal penis is not going to make the edit, I'm afraid, Stu.
What you don't realise is that wet-ass pussy parody, the backing vocals are done by Mr. Tumble.
he's doing everything. He's doing everything.
He's very
Mr.
good.
Grumble.
Okay, Clarkie, are you done on that second fact?
Sorry, I interrupted you.
Oblong. It's I had a baby Jesus carved on top of it.
Okay, and oblong with a Jesus on top,
and that was it.
All right. Okay. Okay, Clarkie.
I'm really enjoying watching Rico.
I feel like I'm pulling such obvious facial expressions of disgust that they're audible. I feel like even people listening can hear.
You're shouting, John.
You can hear the nostril crinkling. Gradients. You can't blame him for not thinking you knew the word oblong when you didn't know the word ingredients. I know, I'm on your side.
I said ingredients. What is this? What did you think I said?
Luckily, this is being recorded. We can check back.
Oh, dear. Well, I didn't think of that.
Imagine if the third one is even shitter than the first two. You won't know what
to do. That's going to really leave us up a cricket.
Finally,
the mince pie originated in Germany when they would make one, and at the start of the festive season, they'd roll it down a hill, down the cobbled hill, and the first person who caught it would get a big present.
Would Ben
to
know
them.
The word catched?
The okay. first person that caught it would get a present from the mayor.
From the mayor?
Yeah.
The mayor of Germany?
Right. Can I?
Okay.
Do you want to... Where are you at, Goldsmith? Talk us through the board.
We'll do a quick recap of the three, if we can.
a recap
of the three.
To me, that's a whole new podcast for you boys. That's a whole new strand. Pappy's recap.
That's what Rico's going to be doing tomorrow night when he goes through all the gags in the show. So we've got ingredients, we've got Jesus's oblong, and we've got the German mayor and the rolling competition. Which one of those rings true?
Okay, brief overview. Format-wise, I don't know what's going on because none of those seem to explain why they would be mince pies.
Interesting.
Is that interesting? Like,
I'm gonna,
go on, Tom. What do you think? What's your initial?
I don't think it can be number one. And this is what always comes back to sting me on games like this. But I don't think it's number one. Right? Number one was stick it in the stocking.
Pop it in a stocking. Move aside orange. Pop it in the stocking.
Right. I don't think it's number three, because I think Clarkie has recently watched the Netflix documentary about cheese rolling, and he told me how much he enjoyed the documentary on cheese rolling, and I think that's quite at the forefront of his brain here.
Right.
So I'm plumbing straight for number two. I think
Two was oblong.
I don't think oblong's coming out of anywhere. I don't think you're reaching for oblong.
Okay.
I think you're fed up, Lauren.
My concern about the first one, I think it could be the first one because there is something like mince pies have got suet in them, and I feel, I don't know what that is, but I feel like it might be like offal pushed through a stocking. Do you know what I mean? It might be some sort of you push fat through some sort of thing and you end up with suet.
Right. So it's sort of like a big sort of, you think stockings were like a big sort of fleshy kind of, like a big sausage, basically.
Oh yeah, God. Like it was kind of a net because you push your ingredients through and then the fat goes out and you end up with the stuff and that goes in the mince pie. But to be honest, judging by Clarkie's expression now.
And then they took the stocking and hung it up. Put an orange in it.
Yeah, that's quite, yeah, you know. Oh, yeah, okay. I don't know. But to be honest, the look of absolute bewilderment on Ben's face makes me think that
that's what he does, you see.
Is he good at this?
He's a good little actor, is Clarkie, he really is. Okay, we're sold, number one. Number one is the truth. Done deal, go. Take it away.
I can reveal that mince pies were originally made to celebrate Jesus. They were oblong in shape to represent the manger that Jesus slept in as a baby and had a pastry Goldsmith. Baby Jesus carved into the pastry on top. Whoa. So there we go. That is a point.
Goddamn oblong. I oblong
that. Points to our oblong chum, Ben Clark. Congratulations. Next up is Stu. Stu is going to tell us the origin of his own favourite. The stocking. Where does the stocking come from on Christmas Eve? Was it a big bag of flesh like something you'd get in Ed Gein's house?
Okay, so according to tradition, St. Nicholas was originally poor. As we know, and as a result, the part of the origin story of the original St. Nicholas is that he was a burglar, and he would, before creeping into the houses of the children, he would, to steal their presents in the original tales, he would pull a stocking over his head to safeguard his identity. Now, he used to wear a lot of meat on top of his head, and by pulling down on the stocking, he would end up with a sort of byproduct that would attract reindeer. So that's the first.
He'd squash a stocking onto his head till he made a little burger.
Yep.
And the burger would attract the reindeer. And
no, the fat on the outside of the stocking.
The ingredients. Is this the
origins of stockings or the origins of the Hamburglar?
The Hamburglar is, like St. Nicholas, steeped in tradition.
and meat juice.
So that's the true one. And what have I got to do? I've got to make up two fake ones.
Yes, that's right. That's
yeah, great. Okay.
Okay, here we go.
That's okay, good. So fake one number one.
Great.
The origin of hanging up your stocking would be that that is where you would want coal. You'd want coal for the fire. So it actually doesn't date back all that far. Victorian tradition, you would hang up your stocking outside your house for the coal man to put coal in it. And kind of morphed in that Victorian way in which we know the kilts, you know, the kilts in Braveheart, they didn't have kilts. Kilts were made up by the Victorians. It's one of those kind of things whereby your stocking is actually, it's a very late addition to the Christmas canon.
You blew my mind twice with that one.
Don't over-explain it, Stu. You've nailed that.
Okay, that's fake one number one. Fake one number two. It was according to tradition.
I don't know why you keep attempting this phrase that you can't say all three times. You literally can't say the phrase according to tradition.
So according to tradition, the original St. Nicholas would give money instead of presents, and he would be unable to throw the money to children without revealing his identity. So he would scramble around on the rooftops, drop the money down through the chimney, and it would spill out from the fireplace unless you had remembered to put your stocking up, in which case you've got a big stocking. To catch the gold.
Okay.
That is how you play. Three absolute belters there.
They all sound like bullshit.
Believable.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Ben. John, what are you thinking about the three answers Stu's given just then?
It was a wonderful performance. I enjoyed it greatly. I've My answer is dictated by the fact that I've forgotten what two of them were. So I'm going to assume that the one I remember is the one where some level of my brain went, store that one. That's right. Okay. So that's the middle one about the coal. And then I can see that, because there was coal in it anyway if you were bad. Isn't that the thing, that if you were bad, you would get coal?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. If you're naughty, you get a lump of coal. So the idea, I think the three ideas were, just to recap, the first one was he would squeeze a meat-filled stocking onto his head. That would pour out and it would attract reindeer. Now, I just want to check, before you go for the coal, you don't want to go for that option.
I'd forgotten about the origin of Father Christmas as someone who would steal presents from children and leave a trail of fat behind. Yeah, absolutely. I'd forgotten about it. I will. Tell me the third one again. And I'll just double check with all of them before I make my mind up.
And the third was that if he didn't want to reveal his identity, so he would throw coins down the chimney. They would hopefully land in your stocking if you had your stocking hung up.
A bit like Tipping Point.
And otherwise, of course, they would fall to the floor where they're irritrievable. Yeah, no one can pick a coin from the floor.
Well, I guess if it falls into the fireplace, then you can't fish it out. I mean, maybe
that's...
But
then if the stockings are on the outside, are they inside the fireplace?
You make a good point. This is...
Inside, or as you would call it, side.
What do you think, Ben?
I stand by my original thought that they're just none of them seem at all feasible.
Well, you have to pick one.
First one clearly seemed like a joke. Then the second one with the coal, why wouldn't they just put a bag or something else? Is a stocking really the most effective thing? And then the third one, as I say, the chances of the coins bouncing down into a fire, out and up into a stocking.
Can I just check, Ben? That's the bit you find implausible about a man who flies to every single house in the world in a single night in a sled driven by reindeer. That's the bit you're finding implausible, that coins could land in a stocking from a chimney.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Are you sticking with your
final
answer?
What are you telling me? That he isn't real? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying... No, of course I'm not saying that.
Guys, think of the preschoolers, for the love of God.
I'm going to go with John. I think coal sounds the most plausible out of three, very implausible.
I can tell you now that according to tradition, the original St. Nicholas put gold coins in the stockings of three poor sisters. He would throw the coins through the chimney, knowing the family was very poor.
Yes.
And the sisters had their stockings hanging up, and the money landed in those stockings.
Dude.
John, you are... Congratulations, Stu. You get a point there. John, you're up next. You're going to tell us, John, why we associate Robbins with Christmas, and not just because of that lovely show he does with Ellis James. So you've got your answer there. John, give us three reasons why we associate Robbins with Christmas.
My first ever role was as a Robin in a...
Clarky, it's way too early for you to get pissed and nostalgic. Are you all right?
You know we're on air, right?
I
loved a girl called Robin once. And, beautiful woman she was.
My first role. I trod the ball. Every day.
But a memory. No,
hang on. We're just... What he's doing is he's stalling to give John Richardson thinking time.
He's
a very good teammate.
My first role. Right.
But it was... I was Robin Redbreast in the school play.
Okay, that's a great story, Clarky.
Thanks,
John,
mate.
Let's have the... We all enjoyed it, but I'll wait for the audiobook if you don't mind. John, give us the three reasons why we think of Robins at Christmas time.
Well, accordion to perdition. when DaBaby Jesus...
He's good at voices.
Yes, thank you. Wigan. When DaBaby Jesus was borned, obviously he was borned in a animal house, farm.
With John Belushi.
Yes, he was born with John Belushi. John Belushi the Baptist, and obviously it was very cold. in the barn, and they didn't want the baby Jesus to die. Well, they did, but not until later. That comes later.
Give
in
it
the
33
story.
Years.
Give him 30
Absolutely.
Years.
Give him a bit of time for the narrative to really sort of develop. So they lit a fire to keep the baby Jesus warm, and the little birds would keep the fire going, the little birds. And that's why it's
by
got
throwing
red...
themselves into it as fuel.
They were sort of
like those doves at
it.
The Olympic opening ceremony. Do you remember that? Was it Barcelona?
Very much. Very much. Very symbolic.
Saw those doves straight into the Olympic flame.
And that's why.
And that's where the tadakin comes from.
That's why they have red tummies, because of the fire burnt their tummies.
Nice, actually, that's good stuff.
There's a hint of Chris Packham about Richardson, isn't there, when he's doing this?
Thank you. I also have dead animals hung on my gate as a,
but you,
an
you
angry protest by
you?
My neighbours. Yeah, I'm just hated, just for different reasons. Obviously, in olden the olden times, mm-hmm. I think that's a specific period, the people didn't get hot food very often. So Christmas was the one time, obviously, they would get a nice hot dinner, a big old Christmas dinner. And that sense of being warm-bellied, red-bellied,
we can move
was...
That's the most serious I've ever seen Tom be about anything.
Yeah, he hates that, doesn't
we
he?
We can move on. We're happy
he's
with
gonna,
that.
He's okay. going to be livid okay. when he finds out. And finally, a robin is... Of course, I haven't finished that one, but if you don't want to hear the rest
no,
of the
no,
truth,
no, no, no,
so
no. Let your teammate give us a full and proper answer. Sorry,
no,
sorry,
no, that's
John.
Fine. If he doesn't want the truth, no, if he can't handle the truth...
I can only apologise for my colleague there.
If he's not happy with robins having red bellies as a result of having a nice warm dinner...
It was gout, wasn't it?
Is that the foot? That's why they've got the webbed feet. Yes, the little three toes. They originally had 5 feet and two had to be severed because of a bad attack of gout.
And then hung on your gate.
Thanks, Stu.
It was a joke about robins having gout that no one noticed. That's fine, carry on.
The last one is, of course, that robins are well known for, they're quite an aggressive bird, and what they'll do is they'll put things in other birds' nests because they don't want them anymore. And that's seen as part of the gifting tradition that robin actually, although it's a very generous bird, will leave things in. It's sort of the opposite of a magpie. Robin will actually leave gifts in other birds' nests.
It's kind of like avian fly tipping.
It's a sort of it's an avian Father Christmas is what it is.
Okay.
It's a red-breasted, red-bellied, generous bird.
Love it. So we've got
bloody hell, bells.
The baby Jesus and lighting a fire to warm up baby Jesus. We've got hot dinner.
Nice warmed
dinner. Nothing better on Christmas morning than a nice warmed dinner, and then putting presents in other birds' nests.
Mm.
Which one of those rings true for Tom and Stew?
My first thought is that if you don't know that John Robbins had gout, my interjection and the subsequent explanation of it
that's
just
right, he
seems
does.
Meaningless.
Yes, he does.
But more fool me
gout.
For trying to explain it by saying that was a joke about Robbins having gout, which didn't explain it any further beyond that initial level of birds.
That's right. Our dear friend John Robbins unfortunately suffers from a very festive ailment of gout. So there we go. We'll put this all in the recrap. Don't you worry about that.
This is you lads all have a good laugh about that while you swig Advocar from the bottle.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I've got a good feeling about flying too close to the fire.
Me too.
I mean, you know, should we just explore the others for a sec? What was the middle one?
I don't buy the hot dinners one.
Oh, really,
no,
Tom? You didn't let us know
you made
that
very clear. You
no,
made that very clear.
You were so confident in that I immediately lost all faith in it.
Yeah.
And like, immediately.
An inverse magpie, no fucking way. I think we've rumbled him here.
yeah.
I think we've rumbled the guy.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, I think
first
going, number one.
You're happy
with
that
robin,
one?
Robin, he beat the fire to keep the baby Jesus warm.
Here we go. Now, law has it that some robins used to eat at a harvester, and at the end of the harvester they'd have a nice nice rosy glow in their bellies, and that is how they got there. No, lore has it that some robins arrived in the stable soon after Jesus was born, and while Joseph was gathering wood, fanned the dying fire with their wings to keep it alight, and the Virgin Mary gave them their fiery breast as a reward for keeping the baby Jesus warm. Wow. Right, congratulations there, yes, to Tom and Stu. You get a point. Now, Tom, please give us reasons three as to why we kiss under the mistletoe. Where does that tradition come from?
It's the first ever time I was in a...
You don't need to. He's on the opposite team, Clarky.
Your first kiss.
She was called Robin, you know. She had gout.
Okay. I mean... It's at this stage you realise what a talented bunch of
liars. Get on with it, Parry. Get on with it.
No, don't interrupt him. I want
to
hear this.
Humbled to be here today. Humbled to be here to witness your incredible acts of bravery. Okay,
I like the way you're stalling for time by talking. Like, you can think and talk at the... I'll think of something while I just carry on talking.
Okay, so mistletoe is a tradition that stems from... what are they called in America, where Harrison
Missiles.
Ford went to visit that community?
The Amish.
The Pilgrims, the Founding Fathers, the Amish. It stemmed
from...
Wait,
no, it's all different things.
You know, the Amish, Mount Rushmore, the dollar bill.
You know the ones that Harrison Ford went to? You know, Jedis. You know, all of the...
Okay. What I've done there is I thought the Founding Fathers were Amish, but they're not.
No, they're not.
No, they just like the look.
Pilgrims, that's what I'm after. I've never seen that Harrison Ford film. The Pilgrims had a rule about kissing indoors. You weren't allowed to kiss indoors, very Christian people. But at Christmas, obviously, everyone wanted to have a festive kiss. So the rule went, if you bring the outside inside with a sprig of, it became traditionally mistletoe, then you're allowed a little kiss because it's under a leaf and a branch and therefore not flouting the devout rules.
Absolutely plausible. Great.
Santa Clausable.
Santa Clausable.
It's absolutely Santa Clausable.
Number two.
Is this thing off?
It's lovely to watch. I'm really enjoying this.
It is a good game, actually, isn't
it? This is like watching someone else cook Christmas dinner. I'm just so glad it's not me.
Number two. The mistletoe bush famously grows... Not famously, because I didn't know this, but the mistletoe bush... grows in pairs. And so from, years ago, has long been considered the romantic bush. Because whenever you see a mistletoe bush in the wild, it will be growing in pairs. So mistletoe became a symbol of romanticism, and so they just brought that towards Christmas. It was never really linked to Christmas. It was always linked to being romantic. You would give your love a sprig of mistletoe. That started linking to giving them at Christmas. I'll give you a kiss under the mistletoe at Christmas.
It's interesting you say that. It's very Santa Clausable, but also the romantic bush is, I believe, the sequel to The Immortal Boner. Is that right? I haven't yet seen it, but it's on my Netflix queue.
Exactly right. So there's the American tradition, the English tradition, and there's the Viking tradition, where the Viking god of frigging.
The god of frigging.
They're Vikings, aren't they? They're Vikings, you know. Frigg.
Freya. Frigg. From which we get the word Frigg.
Frigg, the Viking god of sex or love, has mistletoe on his, you know, mistletoe is the sign for that god, for that goddess. And so it comes from the Vikings, mistletoe, Frigg, kiss under the mistletoe. So it could be American, it could be English, it could be Viking.
Okay, so was it number one, Harrison Ford? Was it number two, the romantic bush, or was it number three, frigging? I'll leave that up to Clarky and Rico.
Mwah. Lovely.
What are you thinking, guys?
Behind the beard.
I'm a big fan of the first one.
Yeah, I love the attempt to dress this up as the sort of battle of three different regions. I mean, is it you know, American? Is it English? Or is it Viking rather than the battle of... Is it two fairly plausible ones, or is it just the symbol of the god of fucking? I like the first two. I liked. I can see the sort of. They both seem plausible.
Mm.
Three, I didn't. I didn't care for, but I didn't want to interrupt and shout that out because I feel that really would have, you know, undermined.
It?
Yeah. It's just nice to watch someone flail, you know. Why would you cut that short when you can watch a colleague and friend desperately paddling away, trying to sell a lie?
Not waving, but drowning in Advocar.
I'd go for the first one, but with a commendation for the second one. If that's a good grift, if that turns out to be true.
Yeah.
But I think it's base, isn't it? It's actually pear trees, isn't it, that you have to plant together, or there's some sort of tree you have to plant in pairs, otherwise they don't fruit.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. I think that. So,
mistletoe.
Yeah.
And mistletoe is a delicious fruit.
It's one of the tastiest fruits.
Clarky, what are you thinking? Do you stand by Rico?
I think the same, yeah. I think the first one rings true. Second one's nice.
It's definitely something that links to a generally less sort of lascivious time, because I can imagine that the Amish and people like that who didn't kiss a lot, you'd want an excuse to kiss. But now we live in such filth-ridden, despicable times that, to be honest, you might as well switch the tradition now to stand under the mistletoe as the one place where women are safe from sexual harassment, to be honest. But
John, can you do some sort of show where you go and live with the Amish? Indefinitely. I just feel you'd get on.
Yeah, I feel like they would object.
That would be the format. Who bails first, you or the Amish?
This guy's fucking dry. I mean, Jesus. Can we not get through in and have a bit of a party?
Okay, so you're going to go with the sort of puritanical Amishy founding fathers Harrison Ford version. Mm-hmm. I can reveal now that mistletoe was a symbol of Frigg, the Norse goddess of love. The original tradition dictated that Christmas revelers had to pick a single mistletoe berry with every kiss until the sprig was empty. So can you believe it? The one you were absolutely raking over the festive coals, that was the correct one.
Superb.
A well-earned point to Tom Parry then.
Tom deserves an extra point. I'm not just saying this because he's on my team, but the commitment to which he looked like he was crumbling as they chose the one that he knew was wrong was sumptuous.
Yeah, I mean, Clarky's a good actor, but Parry lives it.
Yeah. Parry can be the Hobbit. We'll have Clarky as background orc.
Exactly.
I'll take it.
Producer... I'm just going to move on at this stage. We're an hour in. So, producer Gwyn, my elf on the shelf, what are the scores? Oh, my goodness.
Look at that.
Oh, what a festive scene.
Where are you? Are you in Istanbul or somewhere?
Tier two, mate. No,
that's Wales for you.
Is all of that just for this, or have you got another gig?
I'm in my friend's bar, which is closed, obviously. I'm in Wales at the moment.
Sure.
So I'm in the bar here with an audience of one.
Oh, wonderful. stretching the old work thing, eh?
Yeah.
Got to come in there for work.
It's a business meeting. It's a business lock-in.
It just happens to be,
Why aren't we all there? Why aren't we all doing this in Gwyn's Mates Bar?
We really could have been.
This time next year, we're all in Gwyn's Mates Bar.
We're all here.
That's what we're doing.
Motel Nights in Cardiff. Check it out.
Is it called Motel Nights?
It is.
Absolute class. You can't put a price on that, can you? Right, producer Gwyn, what are the scores at the end of that round?
The scores are Ben and John have one and Tom and Stu have three.
Oh,
wow,
thanks for that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tom and Stu are in the lead, but Ben and John have not yet been pied off. Let's play round two. It's Flat Games.
Yeah! Games.
Let's play together.
Games.
Let's play forever. Roll the dice, spin that thing. Put that there.
Do as you're told.
Games. If you lose, you get nothing.
Games.
If you win, you get gold.
Gold,
frankincense, gold. And myrrh. This week we are playing
Put the brakes on slightly. Rico's gone to get a drink.
Of course. There you go. He's back. I mean, he
just enough time for Clarky to tell us about his first ever role in a play.
His first ever role of a mince pie in Germany. So this week we're playing our version of Guess Who, which we're calling Guess Ho Ho Ho. I'm going to give each player five famous names. They have to do an impression of Santa Claus doing an impression of that person. Their teammate has to guess who Santa is impersonating. A point for each correct guess. Teams have 90 seconds to impersonate and correctly guess all 10 names. Tom and Stu, you are up first.
Beautiful.
Okay. Tom and Stu, you are up first. So just to
Can I just ask a philosophical question here?
Yeah.
Is the game I'm impersonating Santa impersonating that famous person, or am I impersonating a famous person impersonating Santa?
That's a good call.
You know what?
I think there's a fundamental difference here.
Do you know what? In this instance, it's absolutely dealer's choice. Okay, so if you want to go for that person, if you want to go for a celebrity being Santa, or if you want to go for a Santa being that celebrity, you can choose. What would you prefer, Tom?
I'd like to imagine the celebrity has been given the role of Santa in a grotto or a family, you know, gathering, and they're throwing themselves into it.
Got it.
Rather than
okay,
Santa,
yes.
He's done the rounds, he's got home, and Mrs. Claus has asked him to play a game with him where he has to do the charades.
I think your way is going to be much harder, Tom.
As long as I
can visualise it, I think I can give it.
So, Tom, have you got your names there? Stu, have you got your names? Have they come through?
I've got my names. I've got my names, and I've Googled the one I didn't know.
Okay.
Nice.
Your 90 seconds begins now.
Ho, 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 ho. I've got a plastic bum hole.
I'm so sorry.
It's absolutely fabulous. I've got a plastic bum hole because
Joanna Lumley?
I certainly am.
Oh, well, here you see the reindeers. Ho, 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 pulling the sleigh. Reindeers
are David
wonderful creatures. I am.
Well, Rodney, have you been naughty or nice this year? Yeah. Have you been a bit of a plonker?
Are you Del Boy?
I certainly am.
My parents got shot for a pearl necklace. But
poor little Bruce Wayne.
You can have lots of presents. When I put on my beard, I become someone else.
Batman or Bruce Wayne, surely.
Yes.
did you not know that Bruce Wayne was Batman?
No spoilers.
No, fair enough.
30 seconds left.
I don't believe it. I really don't.
I
certainly am.
It's 2020.
Ho, ho, ho. Oh, no. I've spilt that brandy onto my cat and I've got a wet-ass pussy.
Oh, shit. Are you the one that sang that song, are you?
Yes, I am.
Sure.
I am, indeed.
I mean, yes. It'll be Cardi B, will it?
That's right.
Is it?
Yes, and that is your time. Well done.
Oh, thank God.
Really good. I believe you got six out of ten. A pretty respectable score there.
It's impossible to commit to being Santa and rush through things.
Like, I didn't know that, but you're absolutely right. Is there a chance to go back and steal these, or can I give away what my next one was going to be?
Do you want to go on? Give us.
All I had was, I'm Alex Jones from The One Show.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't have got a point for that.
No,
you wouldn't have got a point for that, Stu, I'm afraid.
No, fair.
I'm tempted to take a point away. Next up, it's John and Ben. To mix things up, you'll be impersonating these famous names as Ebenezer Scrooge. So, do you have your names there?
Is it possible to rush as Ebenezer Scrooge? We shall find out.
Yes.
So, we're being the person on the thing being Scrooge.
Yeah, let's call it that. Yeah, let's do that. Okay. Or Scrooge being that person if you want to. I mean, you know, whatever you do, we'll be happy with it. Your 90 seconds begins now.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Can I be neither of them?
No, no, you can't.
I'm remembering Christmas, December 25th, where that slag flew across the sky into people's houses.
Danny Dyer.
Yes.
Oh, and the poor houses, Miss Piggy, are they not open?
Oh, come it.
Yes. I'm not. Ba ba humbug.
Michael Bublé.
What's up?
Bublé, Frank Bublé. Sinatra.
Yes, Frank Sinatra.
A Merry Christmas. I should be so lucky, lucky, lucky.
Oh, very nice.
Kylie Minogue.
Yes.
Aha.
Alan Partridge.
Is it Morton Harkett?
Well, what a visit by the three ghosts it has been.
The hills now. Are alive with the sound of fucking humbugs.
Is it a Robin Redbreast?
Ray Winston?
You see, I've got so confused now.
Don't do it as Danny Dyer, as Ebenezer Scrooge, as this person, Clarky. Just do...
I don't know what Ebenezer Scrooge sounds like.
Well, he's not a Cockney. Now, listen, let's...
Was that one?
That was one of them, yeah.
The Queen?
I'm afraid that is your time.
Elizabethan Scrooge.
It wasn't the Queen.
Can you give him, like, with zero time limit, can we really see Clarky go for it?
We'll end on this one. Clarky, give us your absolute best. Ebenezer Scrooge doing
just
this
relax,
famous
just celebrity. Relax and just feel the
just
moment.
Have fun with it. Just have fun with it. We've got that first one. That's in there. That's the one. This one, just have fun with it. Just throw it away.
Oh, I'm sweating.
Cup. That's not part of it, by the way.
King
not,
Pim.
No. It's definitely not Prince Andrew.
The hills are alive with bar humbug.
Oh, what's her chops?
Julie Andrews.
It is Julie Andrews. Yeah. Yes, I'm not going to give a point to anybody there because no one won. So, so that is the end of that round. Let's ask our little elf on the shelf, producer Gwyn, to impersonate someone who has been keeping the score. Gwyn.
The scores are Tom and Sue have 9 and Ben and John have 5.
Oh! Yes. Oh. Romping.
Now, it's time to head into the next round. Let's tuck into some Christmas dinner. It's time for some beef. It's Beef Brothers!
Ooh. Well, if you got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you got a problem, call it a beef. If you got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef Brothers sorting out your beef.
More turkey.
Yes, it's Beef Turkey Brothers, where each week we ask our panellists to sort out a festive flat share-based beef. And today's one comes from Tim, who writes...
Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim himself writes... I live in a flat that is 1 of 4. Basement, ground floor, first floor, second floor, in a converted Victorian house.
Oh,
of course
it's
Victorian. This week, I've been added to a 23-person WhatsApp group called NYE Party 2020 by the couple in the basement flat. Apart from the absolute madness of inviting that many people to a party in these unprecedented times, I don't know them that well. I've chatted with them a few times and once went down for a barbecue in the garden. And I don't know any of the other people on the list at all. A party where I don't know anybody else is my worst nightmare. I'm quite shy and would rather just spend New Year's Eve alone in my flat chatting with my friends online. How can I politely decline while remaining on good terms and also not give the impression that I might call their police on their stupid illegal party, which I definitely won't do because all cops are bastards.
Took a turn.
No one expected that from little Tiny Tim. Any help would be appreciated. Okay, folks. So, poor old Tiny Tim there. He's there in his flat. He's been invited to this party. He doesn't want to go. What is your advice?
Throw away your phone. Get rid of your phone. Get a new number. Completely ignore the whole thing. Blank it completely.
Start again.
Just start again. Start a new life.
Burn off your fingerprints.
Scratch all your teeth out.
Go full
move house.
I was going to say, you did all this stuff before moving house. Start off with the grid. Move. Then consider if they come after you to do all that.
That would have been a brilliant twist at the end of the Bourne films, wouldn't it, after the trilogy? If it just turns out he was trying to get out of a New Year's Eve party that he didn't want to go to. he'd done it all to himself.
The Bourne resolution.
Very nice.
So, Stu, you're thinking it's got to be just... Scorch the earth.
Scorched earth, absolutely. Get the fuck, kill them all. Kill them all, get out.
Okay. John, what are you thinking?
Well, these people are scum. I don't understand what the issue is here. They're just, would like a street WhatsApp and you thought, well, at least when they infect each other, I'm not going to have to share a banister or a letterbox with them. But this is basically a death threat. They've basically set up a WhatsApp group to say, we're all going to lick each other, and good luck getting down the fucking stairs on January the 1st or 2nd. So, well, absolutely.
When was the last time you went to a party, John? They don't all lick each other.
They do. I've seen them. They wait till I've gone.
Still on the frig, mate.
They wait till I've got my remaining beers out of the fridge and gone home. These are mine.
The narcs left. Let's get licking.
All I would say in Tiny Tim's favour is these are the basement flat people, are they? Yeah. So. Yeah. You don't have to. It's not like if he was floor two and they were floor one and you thought, I'm going to have to pass them every day when I go out. Basement, you don't have to worry about them. You're never going to see them again. So send a polite response. All the best with it. Sorry I can't make it, but I'm whatever, shielding, or I'm not going to be here. And then phone the police. Get them arrested.
Get the bastards involved.
Especially if you're ground floor and they're downstairs. Get them arrested and then get some fucking tap dancing lessons. Enjoy the chance to just really stomp about. Put some laminate down.
Buy some clogs.
Rip up the carpet. Yeah, of course.
Go for it. Clarky, Parry, what are you thinking?
I just think, if you're top flat and they're basement, just turn your taps on.
Go wet bandit style.
About 8 o'clock at night, just pop your taps on, flood them out.
And that doesn't mean tap dancing, just for the record. Yeah. I like the fact that all this advice...
They're all tap-based, yeah.
Just get your taps on, baby.
Tap their phones. You know, these are all good plans.
I mean, I think two things. First of all, it's much easier than if you're invited to something online for New Year's Eve.
Yes.
That you don't want to do. And I think that's a bigger problem for people right now. Because it's very hard to give a legitimate excuse for why you don't want to attend someone's Zoom party on New Year's Eve. Because no one's going out. We all know that. You haven't got other places to be. So therefore, you are literally saying to
someone...
This
is a very hard letdown you're giving us by the moment.
I'll be in a
breakup. Josie Long found a way.
Sorry, guys. Radio 4, you know how it is. Either that or I'm just going to set myself up in a Zoom breakout room very early on in the party and just have just me in that breakout room.
Nice private breakout. That's never been done. Lovely.
Private breakout.
Breakout for money.
If I was Tim, I'd have a bit of fun here. I would print a fake notice from the council and I would laminate it and I would staple it to the front door saying, it has been brought to our attention by one of the people in this flat that you are planning a party on New Year's Eve.
Brackets, right? Not Tim. And
I'd say, you know, we have received the following information. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You stick that on, it's fake. You put it on there, and then you come down, you're in the foyer, and you're like, oh my God, guys, have you seen? And you angrily tear it off and take a picture of it. Look at these cunts, they're trying to stop us having a pie. Someone's dobbed us in, and then the New Year's Eve party takes on a whole new level of intrigue. It gets proper knives out. They all think someone's a mole. Suddenly, that's a party you want to go to. You want to go to a party where they can all sit down and go like, right, one of you fucking... knobbers did us in, no licking, you know, and then it's going to get intense, it's going to get exciting, and that is going to be a New Year's Eve to remember. You just need to hold your nerve.
It's like a big game of like Wink Murder almost.
Big game of which one's the real Christmas tradition and which two are fake. It's the same buzz that you get from playing that.
And if anything goes wrong, you can just fall back on my one as a backup option.
Yeah, kill them all.
You've always got...
kill them all, fingerprints off out the window.
So we've got kill them all and lose your fingerprints from Stu. We've got these people are scum from John. So call the police on them.
Predictably.
Whatever it would have been.
I didn't even hear the question. I'm not going to lie to you.
He's got that saved to templates, basically. Clarky is flood the bastards out. And Tom is either breakout room or fake notice from the council.
Fake notice from the council.
Well,
misinformation campaign.
Yeah, do you know what?
And then intrigue. Watch them kill each other.
I simply cannot make the decision myself. Because I'm going to that party, and there's, you know what? There is nothing you mask-wearing sheeple can do about it, all right? There is another way. Check out my my new documentary on David Icke's website. It is behind a paywall, but it's worth it, okay? They're doing it right in Sweden, or at least they were 2 or 3 weeks ago. When I made the documentary. That's when I made the documentary, yeah. But there is, guys, there is another way.
Hey, who's this?
My goodness! Oh, who's arrived here to make the decision instead? Oh my goodness, who's this?
Hello, it's me, Father Christmas.
Oh my God, Father Christmas is here!
Yes, and here's my lovely wife, Cruella de Vil. Oh,
Father Hello. Christmas and Cruella. Right, well, I don't know, have you been watching the show? Have you heard the beef?
Every fuck, we're busy, aren't we?
Is it true you've both been on Radio 4 this evening?
Yes. we're on a new show, and it's called Don't Say Cunt. And I'll tell you something for free. We lost the show, didn't we, dear?
Oh, yes, Santa, we lost, but it were a lovely show.
Yes.
Yeah, good, right. Well, listen, listen, Santa and Cruella, have you got a verdict on what the correct answer is? You can either pick one of the options that our panellists have given, or give a completely new answer all of your own, and we'll see whichever one is the closest. Well, what do you think is... what's your advice for Tiny Tim?
Well, Tiny Tim, I wouldn't advise you to destroy fingerprints, because these days, DNA... is so precise, they'll still fucking have you. They'll fucking have you. You can't get away with murder anymore these days, can you?
No.
But, did you say can't get away with murder or can't get away with murder? Because if it's cunt, you're out of the game, I'm afraid.
Oh, no, not again.
Second time in a row for you.
Fuck you. Fuck you. You know it's the worst time of the year for me. You've made me do this Radio 4. I'm busy. I've got work to do tonight.
Well, I just asked you to do one thing for me, and that was be a guest on a Radio 4 fucking panel show. And you wouldn't do it.
I did it!
Yes.
Oh! Hey. Oh my goodness.
No way.
It's the master of two voices. Josie Long is here.
Who was doing the voices?
Hiya!
Hello, Josie.
Hi, Josie. Have you got
this
a dungeon with you?
Because that dire, isn't it?
It's pretty dark. It's pretty moody, I'll say that much.
How's that?
That's better, great. Yeah, that's better. So Josie, if you were going to give the points to one of our panellists today, who do you think? We've got Killam, we've got These People Are Scum, we've got Floodham, or we've got Print a Fake Notice from the Council. Which one of those rings your Christmas bells?
I love Print a Fake Notice from the Council, but I would also say, just go to the fucking party and have a good time, you idiot.
Too right, too fucking right. Lick those banisters.
Lick everything. Lick yourself.
Absolutely.
Like a cat would.
Absolutely. Clean yourself with your sandpapery tongue. Well, that's the spirit of Christmas right there. In which case, that is 1 point to Josie Long. So as we head into the final round, producer Gwyn, our very own Santa scores. What are the points at this stage of the game?
Can I just interrupt for a second?
Of course you can, Santa.
We're drinking some hot chocolate and mince pies.
Oh, delicious. That's us. I mean,
thank you, Santa.
Well worth the interruption, I say. Thank you so much, Santa. It's great to have you on the show. Now, Gwyn, please could you...
sorry to interrupt
No,
again.
No, no, no. Please. The floor is yours, Santa. Please, you simply must.
Is it
Okay, now we haven't seen the brown orange, but yes, here we go. Producer Gwyn, please tell us the scores at this point.
Tom and Stu have 9, Ben and John have 5, and Josie has 1.
Oh, okay. Well, our losers still have a chance to slay, but first, let's enjoy the musical equivalent of the space between Boxing Day and New Year's. It is, of course, the quick fire round jingle. Here we go.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 2 turtle doves. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 3 French hens, then 4 calling birds, and then 5 gold rings, then 6 of something else, and 7 of another. You know what's coming. It was too many presents. I didn't have anywhere to put them. On the last day of Christmas, my true love gave to me the quick fire round. Merry Christmas, listener dears. Stay safe and we love you. Merry Christmas. Here's the Christmas quick fire round.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Tom and Ben, and Merry Christmas to you all. Okay, folks, here we go. It is time for our much-loved 12 Days of Quickfiremas. Now, in its 8th glorious year, or should that be, I Hate Gloria's Ear. Because that's basically what it is. It's basically that. So here's how it works. All of the answers have a... Say it with me, folks. A vague assonance.
A vague assonance
with the classic Christmas song, The 12 Days of Christmas. If you think you have the right answer, shout out your first name. Tom and John, let's hear that now.
Tom.
John.
Josie, let's hear that now.
Josephine Long.
Josephine Long. Ben and Stu, let's hear that now. Ben.
Stu.
Lovely stuff. Okay. Here, I'm going to attempt to busk through some of the chords on the guitar. Let's see how this goes. I'm not holding out much hope, folks. And also, we're on fucking Zoom, so it's going to be a bit of a disazzo all the way through. But
it should go without saying, listener dear, play along at home.
Absolutely, play along at home. Here we go. Okay. So the first one is, of course, a partridge in a pear tree. That's what we're aiming for here, a vague assonance with a partridge in a pear tree. Okay, the squidgy tissue that surrounds Dancing Fred's leg joint. That's
and
the
Stu. Off to an absolute flyer.
Stu.
Stu.
And the cartilage. Yeah. On a stair's knee.
Oh my goodness! Absolutely, it's the cartilage in a stair's knee. But I'm going to, of course, give you the point. Let's hear it now. Let's hear it sung, please.
A cartilage in a stair's knee.
Okay, beautiful. I can tell this is going to work quite well. This is two turtle doves. Here we go. Mel Gedroyk's double act partner is wearing surgical attire.
Josie Long!
Stu!
Josie Long, I think, was just first there, Stu.
Sue Perkins Scrubs.
Is absolutely correct.
I'm still in the game!
I know that Josie's going to overtake us. I'm going to be so upset.
Can you give us both of them now, please, Josie?
Sorry. Sue Perkins Scrubs and the cartilage in a
Destiny.
Oh, beautiful. Three French hens. Here we go. The guitarist from the Rolling Stones is drawing out his retirement money. The guitarist from the Rolling Stones is drawing out his retirement money.
Ben?
Clarky.
Keith Pensions.
Keith Pensions is absolutely right. Yeah. So let's hear it, Clarky, all the way through, please.
Keith Pensions, Sue Perkins Scrubs, and the Cognitive.
Here we go. Four calling birds.
Pressure's building on Rico. Still hasn't got one.
The alien Robbie, or sorry, the alien Robin Williams is drunkenly fighting groups of cows. The alien Robin Williams is Sue.
Mork brawling herds.
Mork brawling herds is absolutely correct. Can you do the lot then?
Mork's brawling herds, Keith's pension, Perkins Scrubs, and the cartilage in his
lovely stuff. This is the big one here. It's five gold rings. Here we go. He played Robbie on EastEnders and he owned Wellard the dog.
Tom. Dinga! Brawling herds, Keith's pension, Perkins Scrubs,
and a cottage estate.
Six geese are laying. And we're back to the Rolling Stones. The singer from the Rolling Stones gnashes a rotting out of his gob.
Josie Long. Mick's teeth are fraying.
It's not straying, I'm afraid. I'm going to give you a half a point for mixed teeth. Stu, can you see me on half a point?
Mixed teeth decaying.
It is mixed teeth decaying. Here we go.
I think mine had more poetry to it.
But mine's the correct,
I've got to beat Josie.
Mine's the correct answer. Because it's the one I wrote down on this bit of paper, Josie. Okay, there it is. Mixed teeth decaying. Stu, let's take us home.
Mixed teeth decaying. Morgs brawling herds, Keith's pension, Sue's Perkins Scrubs, and the cartilage in her stead me.
Okay. Seven swans are swimming. Here we go. Seven swans are swimming.
Still nothing from Rico.
I'll be honest, I was with you until the vague assonance of Dean and Five.
When you've done it eight fucking times, mate.
Keep it vague.
Very vague.
We were up at midnight last night just going, oh, come on, who have we done?
The genuine chat came down to, it's more about personality, that one. It's more about personality.
Okay, what are we doing here? We're on seven swans are swimming. Here we go. Okay. The grass in the county of Cornwall requires cutting just around the edges. Sorry, I've sung that wrong. The grass in the county near Cornwall requires cutting just around the edges.
John,
here we go.
Devon's lawns are fraying.
Stew.
Seven swans need mowing.
It's seven swans are swimming. We're looking for vague assonance, please. Swans are swimming. Stew would like to steal here. Let's. What do you think?
Devon's lawns need strimming.
Do you know what? It's actually Devon wants a strimming, but I think Devon's lawns need strimming is even. You've punched it up, mate. Bonus point. Stu, once again, please.
I'm looking at my strimmer because I'm in my cellar, so it was right there for me.
Are you the guy in the basement who's having the party on New Year's Eve?
Oh. Devon wants a strimming, mixed teeth decaying. Dingo! Pension, Super Kid Scrubs, and the cartilage is deadly. Oh.
Eight maids are milking. Here we go. shred a blue cheese that belongs to Miss Smith from Strictly Come Dancing. That's shred a blue cheese that belongs to Miss Smith from Strictly Come Dancing.
Tom? Great Maisie Stilton.
Great Maisie Stilton is absolutely correct. Here we go, Parry. It's all yours, man. It's all yours.
Great Maisie Stilton. Devon wants a streaming mix. Teeth decaying. Morgs brawling herds, Keith's pension, super kid scrubs, and a college estate.
Okay, nine ladies dancing. Ms. Lawson's underwear can really hold a tune. That's Ms. Lawson's underwear can really hold a tune. Stu Goldsmith.
Nigella's pants are singing.
It's actually Nigella's pants sing. You're absolutely correct. Yes. So, Stu, there it is for you.
What's the tune for this one?
Nigella's pants
sing. Great Maisie Stilton. Devon wants a streaming mix. Teeth decaying. Brawling herds, Keith Pension, Super Kids Grunge, and the Cardigan.
Nice. Okay, Ten Lords are leaping. London's rivers H2O is leaking through the walls.
Josie Long.
Josephine Long.
Thames water seeping.
Is correct. There it is for you, Josie.
Water seeping, Nigella's pants. Great Maisie Stilton, Devon wants a streaming, Mickey's teeth decaying. Morgs brawling heads, Keith's pension, and a college
estate. Okay, 11 pipers piping.
So close.
Mr. Generous has just spotted a Norse warrior.
Stu.
Oh, Stu Goldsmith.
Erlin's Viking sighting.
It's very good, but it's slightly out of order.
Erlin spies a Viking.
He's absolutely correct. Oh, second bite of the cherry. Here we go.
Very good.
Stu, it's all yours.
Erlin spies a Viking, Thames water seeping, Nigella's pantsing, Great Maisie Stilton, Devon wants a streaming, mixed teeth decaying,
Decaffney.
Morgs brawling herds, Keith's pension, Sue Perkins scrubs, and the cartilage in a Stesney.
Here we go, folks. This is the final one, and let's put all Zoom aside. When we get to it, we're all singing it, okay? I want it to be an absolute fucking mess, because it's Christmas. And what could be more Christmassy than an absolute fucking mess?
Christmas.
Here we go.
Have Christmas without it, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly, Tom. Whatever the end of that sentence was, I would have backed you to the hilt. 12 drummers drumming. Here we go. If Mr. Bragg from In Our Times jizzes on you, you lose all sensation.
Oh, Josephine Long.
Josephine Long was just first.
Melvin's cum is... hang on, I had it. I've just... numbing, thank you.
It's absolutely correct. Melvin's cum is numbing. Okay, everybody. Everyone at home, open your windows, raise the rafters like you're Amish, and let's fucking have it. It's Christmas.
Melvin's cum is numbing. Ellen's spice of Viking. Thames water seeping. Nigella's pantsing. Great Maisie Stilton, Devon wants a streaming,
Oh my goodness. I mean, I don't know how that sounded at home, but it sounded pretty good where we are, guys. It sounded pretty fucking good where we are.
That's how they must have felt at the end of Band-Aid. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Should we do a take two? Don't bother. We smashed it. Christmas number one for the next 25 years. That is the end of the round, and it's the end of the game as well. Whoa. So before we find out the final scores, John, Stu, Josie, is there anything you'd like to plug? Sorry, Parry, final statement from you, mate.
Can I plug the fact that I think Josie's going to have beaten Ben and John? Because it's about to be the highlight of my year, I think.
Oh my God. Here we go. She came in the last round. Can she go for the title? Let's start with you, John. Anything you would like to plug? Anything that any places people can find you at the moment?
Oh God, no! I've been fucking everywhere, bragging on about all the shit I've done this year. So just leave me alone and just ignore my horrific voice and face. Just have a good Christmas, and hopefully I won't be a part of it, as I wasn't the last round. So may that last round be a symbol of the Christmas you have to come, where I am absolutely not part of it.
Okay, so Meet the Richardsons is on telly over Christmas.
Yeah. Wednesday night, in a world where Dean does not have any vague assonance. Or as we call it, the real world.
Stu, what about you?
If your listeners are not aware of my Comedian's Comedian podcast, then it's basically the opposite of this in every respect.
Yes, that's so true.
It's slow, not funny, manageable and meaningful.
Yeah. We talked a lot about ComCom Pod on our last Beef Brothers Cold Cuts with Kieran Dowd, our festive Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. So we kind of explain what the show is there, but don't listen to it, Stu. We do a good job. Anyway. and also we can find you on Twitch. The Infinite Sofa is on Twitch now.
Yes, it is. It's twitch.tv/Stu Goldsmith.
And you just hit a milestone, didn't you?
We had like 70,000 people watch last night.
Wow,
so I think
that's
half
amazing.
A million viewing hours. Yeah, it doesn't turn into anything.
It's
fantastic. Congratulations. Yeah, yeah. Josie, Amazon Prime, isn't it?
Yeah, if people want to get me a gift, they should do it via Prime, because days are running out.
Can you not watch Cara Josephine on?
Listen, I got fuck all going on, and I just want everyone to know I'm available for employment, and I'm a well-seasoned pro. I've got two shows that people can see online. I've got Cara Josephine on Amazon and Something Better on Netflix as part of the Live at the BBC. But I just recorded.
You've got a foot in each camp. Your Netflix and Prime Video.
Very hidden within specialist threads, not in any.
Josie,
real
is the show called Something Better?
Yeah.
As a joke, so that when you're describing the different platforms you're across, you can say there's something better on a different platform.
Oh, I didn't think about it in those terms. It was just saying, be like, what are you going to see? We're seeing that. We're going to see
one
something better.
One in the
better.
Eye for Amazon Prime.
But I've just recorded my other show and I'm going to try and put it out. I recorded it in my garden in lockdown with about 5 people in the audience. And
amazing.
I'm really pleased with it. So there's that.
Brilliant. Well, look out for that and follow all of our guests on Twitter. Thanks to all of you guys for watching. As always, check out our Patreon, Pappy's Flatshare. We're doing regular episodes of Flatshare Lockdown. There's loads of bonus stuff over there. If you are a fan of the podcast and you want to give us a donation, that is the great way to do it, because you get bonus episodes for your donation. A Patreon subscription also makes for a very fetching Christmas present for all members of the family. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes, recommend the podcast to a friend, all of that kind of stuff. So this is very exciting. Producer Gwyn, Santa Scores himself, if you are not pissed out of your mind, can you tell us where the points are at the end of
can
the
I
show?
Can I suggest, because it would be more in the Christmas spirit, if we just finish the show now with no points, because, hey guys, we're all just here for the love.
That's so, a really wonderful job. But utterly correct sentiment.
Do you know what? I really back that, actually.
let's hear it. Go on, Gwyn, off you go.
The scores are, so Tom and Stu had 17, and the next person had 6.5. And that was Ben and John.
Oh, yes.
4.5. So it was very close.
Oh. Sort of. Well, you know what?
I think we can.
Stu, do you know what? Stu's suggestion was a better one, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
I just celebrated climaxing, second yeah. place in a competition of two there.
That's really my motto. You play passionately to win at the expense of being funny, and then at the end, you claim the points don't matter to you.
Yes.
An emotional ripcord.
Do you know what? I'm just going to say, look, as far as I'm concerned, because it's the Christmas Flatshare Slamdown, I'm the winner. Okay, I'm the winner, guys. Well, I won. Congratulations.
You wrote
well
all
done.
The songs, year in, year
the
out.
Real winners, the real winner's Gwyn, who's having a lock-in in his mate's bar. Absolutely hammered for free.
I mean, right, yeah. I'm sitting next to a threadbare Christmas tree drinking Advocar while my wife is at work solo. This is me solo parenting. That's bleak.
You're doing
not
it
the,
right, baby.
I'm not actually the winner. But no, this has been so much fun.
Certainly not the breadwinner.
Oh, Clarky, it's true. Thank you so much, all of you, for watching at home. Thank you so much. Let's have a big round of applause wherever you are, folks, for John Richardson, for Stu Goldsmith, for yes. Josie Long, of course, for producer Gwyn, for Tom Parry, for Benedict Clark. That has been the end of our show. Merry Christmas, everybody. Oh, this was as near as damn it having you all in the same room. Thank you so much. We're Pappies. We'll see you next time on Flatshare Slamdown. Pappies Flatshare Slamdown featured Matthew Crosby, Ben Clark and Tom Parry with special guests Stu Goldsmith, John Richardson and Josie Long. It was devised by Pappies and Ben Walker. Technical expertise was by Emma Caution with help from Gwyn Rhys-Davies. It was produced by Emma Caution. Big thanks to everyone who watched the show live, to Zoom and YouTube for hosting us. It wouldn't be Christmas without Zoom and YouTube. Pappies Flatshare Slamdown, it's a Secret Dudes production for Acast and the internet. Merry Christmas to all and to all. Cheers everyone. Bye. Bye.
Well, there we go. Merry Christmas, everyone. We hope you enjoyed that. Yet another 12 days of Christmas done. So now you can get on with the rest of your Christmas traditions.
Absolutely right. And if you still haven't bought your Christmas presents for your friends and family, why not get them a Patreon subscription? Oh, what a festive gift that would be.
I know the answer to that.
But you literally never know if people are going to enjoy a Patreon subscription to a podcast they don't already
absolutely.
Listen to.
Absolutely. Maybe a safer bet is to treat yourself to it for a
Christmas
present.
That's a better one, absolutely.
You'll have a bit
right,
of Christmas
yes.
money squirreled away somewhere. Someone might have given you a few Christmas pounds. We don't spend pounds anymore. Put it into the Patreon. And you'll get tons of bonus content. You'll get Flatshare Lockdown, our kind of bonus podcast that we've been running all year. There's a great community over on Patreon. Come over and join us.
That's yeah, right. You get three bonus episodes every single week and all of the archive stuff from the past year. It's lots of fun. And we'd love to see you over there. But most of all, the main thing is thank you for being such wonderful listeners throughout the course of this year. It's been really wonderful. Everyone who's got in touch, everyone who's sent in a beef for Beef Brothers, everyone who's come along to the live Flatshare Zooms, it's been a wonderful year here at Pappy Towers, even if it's been a terrible year outside of it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for keeping us company and lending us your ear canal. We don't take it for granted. We feel very lucky to be able to spend this time with you. We know Christmas is going to be a bit different this year for a lot of people. Please look after yourselves and hang in there if you have to get through it on your own. We love you mm-hmm. very much and we look forward to hearing from you next year.
Absolutely.
Well, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. This episode was produced by Emma Caution.
Caution team. Cheers, everyone.
Bye. Please be upstanding for the Patreon name. Heard what your roll call.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call. We are terrified tonight to learn that someone's got his bum out, and that person is Tom Fearn.
Okay, yes, thank you very much. We're all terrified at that. Somebody has recently got their bum out in the precinct, and I believe everybody saw her. We're terrified of this news, and the name, of course, of this person is Laura.
Breaking news. Ever so sorry about the bum incident. It goes on. Unfortunately, somebody saw that, got very excited. They've decided to stalk. They started to become a stalker. Of course, it's dirty old Ryan Walker.
Dirty old, dirty old Ryan Walker, of course. Yeah, 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 yeah.
This bum news is affecting us all in different ways. Listen, I'm really sorry to say we are terrified to report that the bum incident, it goes on. Someone got their bum out. They did a fart. That fart was terribly loud. Reports breaking now that it was actually Lauren McLeod.
Oh, okay, well, this... can I just say that I'm absolutely terrified right now, and you're not going to believe this, but somebody has got their bum out and is running about as fast as they can go. I believe that person is Scobdo.
Okay, breaking news. Unfortunately, someone's got very angry at this and has got a gun out and they shot her.
No.
I know. It's absolutely terrible. Unfortunately, news coming through that it is actually Kai Potter.
I'm a scat man.
I'm calling out to Scatland.
Breaking news, someone did a poo, calling out from Scatman's world. And, tried to chew it.
And if you wanna be free, you gotta listen to me. Oh. there's terrible news right now, and it's it involves the bum incident. I'm afraid somebody has actually just drawn a picture of a bum, and it's absolutely disgusting. And next to it, they have drawn a picture of a turd, and that person was, of course, Men Steinberg.
Oh no! Well, this person has mistaken the picture of a turd for a real one. And,
oh, God.
They're just an absolute idiot. It's a real shame. I'm sorry to say, it's Elizabeth Elliot.
I'm a scat man. Someone stuck their arsehole right into my car window at the traffic lights. I was absolutely furious. I was also listening to the killer song, Mr. Brightside.
Oh, great.
And I was giving a lift to my good friend, Josh Wrighton.
Okay, of course you were. Listen to Mr. Brightside with your arsehole in someone else's car. Who can blame you?
What a start of the day.
Well, I've got some bad news for everybody. Somebody has shoved their spare phone up their arse. That's right. Right up the arse goes their burner. And it was, of course, Gareth Turner.
Someone got upset with the phone being up his arse, decided to try and take it back out. He gave it an almighty tug. It was absolute scenes, and of course he did it. Sam Rugg.
Oh, Ruggy boy.
And now in sport, in football today, someone put a whole ball up their arsehole. There's no need. Anyway, over to the tennis. Who's won Wimbledon? It's Mark Mead.
Congratulations.
Well, that's all we've got time for tonight at the news at 10. Stay classic.
I'm going to do the last one, though. That's okay. I've got to stay classic, guys. Listen, guys, before you stay classic, don't walk off in a huffy, because that, of course, is the preserve of Gillian Duffy. Match of the day. Match of the day, match of the day, match of the day. Do 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 do.
That concludes our neighborhood Patreon watch roll call.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.